We got breaking news. The Harris campaign releases a critical document ahead of the debate with President Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, your host today. We got Will Haynes joining us, executive producer in studio as well. And we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Hope you all had a great weekend. But we're back here on a Monday. And what broke, of course, was a big document dump, if you will. But what is that document? Of course, it is finally, for the first time, in the Harris campaign. Guess what's now on her website? That's right. There is a small but prevalent button that now says issues. That's right. If you want to actually learn what this presidential candidate is about, you now kind of sort of can. If you go to her website, click on issues, a new way forward, build an opportunity economy and lower cost for families. And then about a paragraph and a half that honestly, though I have no proof of this and though it's unlikely to be true, it all feels very much like it was written by AI. It has sort of the marks of AI, or the marks of maybe someone who's been in politics for so long that they appear to their AI appearing is how it is. And that is currently what's going on in our system. And sadly, if you go down and break through most of these, you're not going to learn a whole lot. It's just there because, of course, we are just, what, a day away, day and a half away?
Day away.
From the first, I guess you'd say it, technically the second presidential debate of the year. But of course, the first time we will see President Donald Trump versus Vice President Kamala Harris, and it is going to be a epic week. I'm sure you are all engaged on it. I want to hear from you, your thoughts. How do you feel that the Harris administration, the Harris campaign finally put up their issues site? And of course, again, we can break down some of it, Will, but a lot of it is just very generic.
That's right. And as you mentioned, it felt like it was written by AI or maybe a staffer who is very good with the word salad style of speaking that Vice President Harris is. There's not a lot of detail here, not a lot of meat, a lot of platitudes and things that sound great, but there's no real policy provisions of how they would implement this as an administration. For instance, like the Keep America Safe, Secure, and Prosperous section, there's a tab that just says invest in America's sources of strength. Okay, what are those? Well, Vice President Harris will make sure America, not China, wins the competition for the 21st century and that we strengthen, not abdicate, our global leadership. So once again, there's more that follows that. It says that we're going to invest in the competitive advantages that America has that make us the strongest nation on earth, like workers, innovation, industry. But what about our energy?
One of my favorites is just take on bad actors and bring down costs.
She's really offended by some of the streaming films that are coming out.
There's some bad
acting. The direct to streaming, very bad acting.
She's upset with the new Star Wars. She's like
it.
You know, the best of the best should be doing Star Wars, not this. I wish that was honestly. If that was in the policy, you know, I'm not saying I would change my vote, but at least we'd be talking about the same things. We'd be having the same conversations. Phone lines are open for you right now. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to say, as we are sort of just like kind of kicking off, this month is a weird one because you have the holiday, then we're back. I want to thank everyone who's been an ACLJ champion. That's someone that has decided to give on a monthly basis. I'm going to encourage you, if you're not an ACLJ champion, all it essentially is a recurring donation. Set it and forget it type situation. You can cancel at any time. But we are doing some really critical work right now. And as the election nears, we are seeing the attacks on conservatives and attacks on Christians really amp up. We're going to talk about one of those coming up in a couple segments with CeCe Hiles. We're seeing sort of a really push against Christians and Bible studies that are happening right now. We're involved in that, where Bible studies won't be allowed to use even terms like Bible in certain areas. I know that sounds crazy, but we're also working on a lot of new projects protecting, obviously you've heard about our pro-life work. We're talking with Walmart right now to make sure we're protecting people's religious freedom rights. That is happening, and it's going to require some considerable resources, but a great way to do it is just to become an ACLJ champion at any level. That's, you know, $5 a month or $500 a month, whatever it is you decide to give. You can do it. Set it. Again, you can cancel at any time. All donations are tax deductible. Do it today. Make a monthly recurring gift and become an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org/champions or scan the QR code on your screen. We'll be right back in just a minute. Secular, we are going to be taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 as we break down that finally released issues page for the Harris campaign. And what you'll finally actually look is that you have a pretty, I don't want to say a moderate point of view, but kind of a nothing point of view for a lot of these. A very benign, non-controversial, even I went to the most controversial sections, you'd think abortion rights, those kind of things. They're not as hardcore as maybe she is. Been on the record before, or maybe been on the record in some of her campaign stops. And this will raise some eyebrows, and they even brought this up to the good Senator Bernie Sanders.
That's right. So Kristen Welker at NBC News had Senator Bernie Sanders on Meet the Press over the weekend on her Sunday show and asked him about kind of the shift in the public-facing persona and opinions and ideals of Vice President Harris, because that's one of the main criticisms she's gotten about how far left she was as a senator and even running for president in 2020 with the fracking ban, the Medicare for All, and things that she has since backtracked on and even famously did so and was pushed a little bit by Dana Bash in the CNN interview. But those positions have changed, but she said her values have not. So Kristen Welker decided to ask about it, and here was Bernie Sanders' response. Let's go ahead and play bite one.
She has previously supported Medicare for All. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. My own view is slightly different. I think that in America today, there are a lot of people, rural people, working class people, who no longer believe that the United States Congress and government represents their interests, who are dominated by big money interests.
Okay, that was obviously from Bernie Sanders. What do you say? No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic. And of course, you know what? Good for Bernie Sanders for saying the quiet part out loud. Doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. Okay, it doesn't matter about what you actually believe. It doesn't matter what your ideals are. It doesn't matter actually what your topics are on your issues page. What matters is making sure you get the votes to win and then do whatever you want. Which is what we've heard from politicians, by the way, for generations at this point, which is just placate your base, try to get people engaged. If you feel too radical on one side or the other, go in the middle, you know, lie to the American people. We're used to that. What we have with Bernie Sanders, actually, I'm saying, yeah, that's what she's doing. She's going in there and lying to the American people.
So what you should probably be looking at is the history of Kamala Harris as a politician and the policies that she held dear and advocated for and voted for in the Senate, and say that's probably the record that would happen in the White House, not what she says on the campaign trail, not what she says in interviews where she says she's changed her position or now she's going to fund a border wall or maybe she wants to eliminate tax on tips, all the things that she's plagiarizing from the Trump campaign. Maybe the real Kamala Harris is the one that was a prosecutor, that was a attorney general, that was a U.S. senator and vice president. Maybe when she's asked the question about, hey, would you support an embargo of arms on Israel? And she says, no, of course not. Israel has the right to defend herself and we will stand strongly. Is she just saying what she feels like she needs to say to get elected? Because that's what Bernie Sanders seems to think. And maybe things like Medicare for All. So a complete single payer healthcare system by the federal government. I don't believe that anymore. What Bernie Sanders just says, maybe she does, but she's just saying what it takes to get elected. Bernie Sanders is a very honest man. You can't say anything bad about his honesty. Maybe just
you can
his
disagree with
exactly
his with
policies. His policies you can vehemently disagree with, but he always tells the truth and is a straight shooter. I think that's why he appealed to so many apolitical people in 2020 that were like, well, maybe I'm not a socialist, but at least he's telling his truth.
Yeah.
Well, and he even tried to run again in 2020.
I remember with him and Trump, it almost appealed to the same person, not dissimilar than an RFK and Trump, which is they didn't line up very well on a lot of the issues, but they almost lined up on, or Tulsi, you could say, lined up on the idea of just telling people at least what they think, not necessarily what the party is making them think.
And there's something refreshing about that to the American people that are so sick and tired of lies and covering up who you really are as a politician just in order to get elected.
I think Israel's the big one that you can really see it, because you can see the sway. You can see where they feel the public is at any given moment. So you can see a Harris administration saying, yes, of course, we're going to be pro-Israel day one. But then 6 months, if they feel like the social media sphere has shifted for them, they may move the target. They may move where it is. We've seen that now. If you look at the way on her issues page, they talk about Israel. A lot of it, sure, does talk about, you know, we got to make sure Gaza, the war in Gaza ends. We got to protect the Palestinian people. But it's pretty strong on language towards Israel. We've seen her do that now recently. That is not the case 6 months ago, a year ago. But what I feel like they did was their internal polling probably said the far fringe left of the anti-Israel movement is not the prevailing, even though they may be the loudest voice, they're not the prevailing voice. And we saw that even over the weekend, CNN had Dana Bash was out and she got an event where, you know, people are screaming in her face saying that she's like a warmongering Israel supporter. Most American people see that and they're not siding with the protester.
Right.
That's not how they feel. Mark Ruffalo, the actor, the Incredible Hulk, he put out a statement saying that the American that was killed, the hostage that was killed, would still be alive if it wasn't for Netanyahu and for the United States involvement in Israel. He had to then apologize, take that down, and start labeling Hamas a terrorist organization.
Right.
When you get Mark Ruffalo, who is maybe the most hardcore liberal to the point where he's like one of the few that I'm a fan of his work, and it makes it harder and harder for me to even like be able to separate because he gets so nasty. He did that and had to even back off. Why? Because his career was probably in jeopardy because most people didn't feel that way. Even if you are a Democrat, even if you are more on the left, you're not going, oh yeah, blame the hostages' murder on the American people or on Israel.
And I think the Harris administration or the Harris campaign here has already figured out how to play that nuance, is that they are letting the principal candidate, Kamala Harris, be strong in favor of Israel, which is not something that you could historically say is the case for her. They're letting her be the face of that. But then you have Tim Walz doing the Michigan interview on public radio last week, where he used the opportunity of the Gaza war and the October 7th attack to say, now is the time we leverage our power against Israel to make them go towards a two-state solution. This is nothing about getting rid of Hamas and saying it needs to be different leadership.
It's about,
and then he also said, once again, he said, and the people speaking out in Michigan, he was speaking to a Michigan audience, are speaking out for the right reasons. The people that are celebrating Hamas, calling for an embargo of arms against Israel, calling for from the river to the sea, the destruction of Israel, carrying Hamas flags, they're speaking out for the right reasons. So you see, from the same campaign, the principal and secondary candidate of this campaign have two vastly different views on the way that this should go. I think it gives them a way to play to the middle and potentially be able to pivot in 6 months' time when the winds of change were to sway a little bit, should they be elected. And I think that's a very dangerous situation if you're an Israel supporter, if you're a conservative, when you see things like that happen. But also, clever strategy. Put the issue page up today. So it takes away a debate prep line from the Trump campaign where they say, you won't even tell the American people what your policies are.
I hope his answer to that is, you put it up yesterday.
Right.
Like, I do hope that's the thing, which is like almost worse.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like the Harris administration or the Vice President Harris has done this over and over again, which is like, I'm not going to go to the border because people are telling me to go to the border. I'm not going to do an interview because they're trying to pressure me to do, like, and then you finally do it and it almost feels like this awkwardness.
Right.
It's like, we're not going to put up a policy page. Well, we should probably do it before the debate. When's before the debate? I don't know, the day before. It only could be worse if it was put up an hour before, because President Trump can now, I still think, use that and say, you waited until a day before a very well-advertised moment. You've now been running for what, at this point, getting close to two months?
Yeah.
Yeah, getting close to 2 months. We know your policies. You were the vice. You are the current sitting vice president. Give us a call. What do you think about this? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And next segment, we're going to be joined by CeCe Hiles. We're talking about some of the ACLJ's work to take on censorship that's happening in really wild levels. You're going to want to see and hear this. So if you're watching right now, stay tuned. We only take a very short break. But in that break, I'm going to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and become a champion. Over 21,000 of you are ACLJ champions. That may sound like a lot, but we have a gigantic operation here, everybody. There's dozens of people working just on this show each and every morning. So all day. They start in the morning, work all day till the show goes on. And then they got to start over and do it again. So that's just our media team. And of course, we have our incredible legal team. You're going to hear from in the next segment. You're going to hear from one lawyer in a cast of hundreds, really, with our whole network of lawyers that are out there. We can't do that without your support. Become an ACLJ member right now, which is what we call ACLJ Champions. Be a champion of life, liberty, freedom. You're going to hear all about the work we're doing coming up in the next segment. Then we're going to be taking your calls because we want to hear from you. And Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us a bit later on the broadcast. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Secular. We always want to highlight the ACLJ's work and ongoing work that we're doing in the legal field. And this one obviously can affect a lot of you. I know our numbers, our demographics, who watches and listens, and this could affect you directly. We're always fighting for, whether it was in the 80s, fighting for Bible studies for kids in schools. And some of those kids, maybe they grew up. Maybe they've aged up a little bit. And now we're taking on what seems to be an ongoing issue, which is just to have the ability to have Bible studies and use certain terminology and talk about your faith in 55 plus communities.
Right.
And we have that, CeCe, happening again right now.
Yeah. So we have yet another client who's reached out to us that consistently held Bible studies in his very nice 55 plus apartment complex until just recently, when he was not given any prior notice of anything, but when he tried to put his Bible study on the calendar, the activities calendar, which he has typically done, the management removed it and they replaced it instead of Bible study with spiritual services. And then he was told that the managing company does not allow Bible to be included in any of the activities that appear on the calendar. And I think a lot of these communities, which we've seen, do this because they think the Fair Housing Act requires them to be completely neutral. And when they think neutral, they think they can't say anything religious.
They go to the extreme.
Exactly. They go to the extreme that they can't do anything religious. And that's exactly really the opposite of what the Fair Housing Act requires. The Fair Housing Act requires that these facilities treat religious activities the same exact way that they treat secular activities. So they can't be disparaging. They can't do it differently. They can't just target, you can't have Bible. They have to allow that if they allow secular. So we sent a demand letter. And once again, we think this will be resolved pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, hope so. We hope it is resolved quickly. That's the goal. The goal is to not string this out. And when you're at a 55 plus community, you're not wanting to wait years and years to find out these answers, but it's something that we can do here at the ACLJ. And if this is one of you listening right now, you're having the same kind of issues or problems with your own, in your housing situation or wherever you are, your workplace, it's very easy to get in touch with one of our lawyers, and we don't charge you anything for that. That is why we have supporters. That's why we have ACLJ champions. We do that so we don't have to charge the person who, you know, was told you can't use the word Bible in your Bible study. You have to say, you know, spiritual conversations or whatever it may be. The ACLJ is here for them.
Right. And you know, we even took it a step further because we have gotten so many of these requests for help in these communities that they're being told they can't have a Bible study, they can't hold a Bible study, they can't say something religious, that we have literally sent letters to the Department of Justice and the Department of Housing and Urban Development to say you need to send out, you know, instructions to these facilities to let them know that they cannot do these illegal type restrictions. And because we've just seen such a great uptick in this, that we realized we need to do something further and go to these agencies that actually monitor this and tell them you need to give out better instructions.
And CeCe, this seems to be a growing and systemic problem in the country right now. And whether it be out in California, where we had to fight for the rights of citizens in Manhattan Beach to use the facilities provided to all citizens to use them for First Amendment activity.
Right.
The First Amendment allows for freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion. And what we're seeing is that these three things are under attack across the country, whether it be in schools where we still see a teacher wasn't allowed to pray visibly
right.
anywhere on campus. We're going to court. We have oral argument there soon in outside of Houston. And then you see all the way to these 55 and up communities. The whole of life right now is being targeted by the government and
right.
by actors that misunderstand
yes.
the protections the government has in place, the Constitution provides, by targeting, curiously, people that want to practice their Christian faith.
Right.
You're not seeing this across the board where it's eliminating other people's rights. It is specifically targeting Christians. And it's a time when you think in 2024, this is settled law. We wouldn't have to be going and fighting these battles.
Right. But we still do. And like Logan said, sometimes it's just people misunderstanding the law. They take it to the extreme. They buy into the rhetoric of separation of church and state. And so they feel like they're actually doing the correct thing by eliminating anything that even smacks of religion, and it is Christian beliefs, and they're just wrong. That's exactly what these laws do the opposite of. They protect your religious rights, and that's what the ACLJ does. We protect the religious rights, and like you said, we do it for free, and we are able to resolve a lot of these very quickly.
Yeah, I honestly have to, every time we're in one of these meetings, be reminded of which one we're talking about here, because they have become more and more frequent, Will.
That's right. And we even have a client in Massachusetts, a pastor that wasn't allowed to use facilities in his local community. Once again, these are places all over the country. We talked about California. We talked about Massachusetts. Today, we're talking about a facility in North Carolina. It's not limited to just the traditional liberal areas like California or Massachusetts. We're seeing things like this in Texas with that teacher,
right.
in North Carolina with the senior 55 and up community. Once again, I said it was systemic. It is systemic. It is in the more conservative areas of the country and the more liberal. That's a problem, and we are going to continue to fight, but we know there's something deeper, and we need to get to the root of that as well.
Right. And I think, you know, that's why we sent these letters to the Department of Justice and Department of Housing and Urban Development, because they need to be doing a better job at educating all these facilities to let them know you cannot be violating, you know, your people, the people that are living there, their rights. They have the right to practice their faith freely and openly, and you cannot stop them from doing so. And I think, again, a lot of times it just takes a letter. If it needs more than a letter, if somebody really has doubled down and they really are targeting Christian faith and trying to shut that down, we will take that to court, and we will take it as far as we need to take it to win, because these are cases that we can win, and we do win, and we do it, again, all for free.
That's right. Absolutely. Right now, you should become an ACLJ champion. As we head into this break, I want to encourage you, if you don't get the full hour of our broadcast, we do another half hour. So if you're live right now, if you're watching, or if later on you're hearing this tape, you want to be like, hey, well, what about the rest of the show? We broadcast it live for an hour each and every day on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, on X. We are broadcasting, but you can also catch it later on podcast, however you get your podcast. We're there as well. Just search for Seculo. You'll find it, or ACLJ. But I encourage you right now, if you don't get us, if you're full hour on your local radio station, to join us right now online, because we do have a great community of people who are always chatting and talking. Thousands have joined us live each and every day. Be a part of that community. If you're brand new on the YouTube channel, I'm going to encourage you right now to hit that subscribe button. Do that for me. If you are an already existing subscriber, also, while you're there, hit that like button, the little thumbs up, the little, you know, that really helps us out. You'd be surprised. Same with on Rumble. Do the same thing, because that gets this into more people's feeds. They get to see more and more content. If you're on Facebook, click the share. Do that. Get engaged. These are free ways you can be a part of the organization. But of course, we encourage you to give and support. And right now, today, we're focused on ACLJ champions, those who give on a monthly recurring basis. As you heard from Cece, we're taking on new cases. We're representing our clients free of charge. And our champions are crucial in allowing us to plan for the future. We're setting a great baseline, whether that's defending that Bible study in a 55 plus community, because look, that very well could be you. That is a real easy example of what's happening around the country, and we want to make sure we're there for you, or there for the potential presidents of the United States for future world leaders. They were there for the State of Israel. So whether that's someone in a 55-plus community who needs, you know, a Bible study and can't do it, or it is the protection of the State of Israel, we're going to be there for you. Go to ACLJ.org right now and become an ACLJ champion, and let me know. Also, if you call in, because you get priority when you call in. Be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Will Haynes is joining me in studio right now. If you're just joining us, you want to know what that critical document that was released ahead of the debate with Trump coming up tomorrow from the Harris administration. Of course, we are talking about, Will, an actual policy section, if you want to call it that, on the Harris campaign website.
That's right. It is an issues tab at KamalaHarris.com. We'll talk about it if you don't feel like going over there and, you know, getting the cookies, and then you all of a sudden get a ton of Kamala ads. We know that you're trying to avoid those in your feed. But, you know, it's build an opportunity economy and lower costs for families is one section. Ensure safety and justice for all is another section. Keep America safe, secure, and prosperous is the final section. And then there are individual tabs within that. There's not a lot of meat here. It makes you question why it took so long to build out this section of the website when it is not a ton of real tangible policy prescriptions that she would put forward. Instead, it's like, we're going to cut taxes for middle-class families. We're going to make rent more affordable and home ownership more attainable. Things like that that are just very lofty goals and very, I would even say, populist facing compared to where the Democrat Party has been for such a long time. You can tell that with these sections, she is trying to target a traditional Trump voter, someone that is very blue collar from the middle of the country, because she knows those are the places she needs to perform well if she plans on winning this election. And just over the weekend, the New York Times and Siena College released a poll. And this is kind of the gold standard of polls. I know that people don't like to give polls a lot of credit, but this one has historically been one of the ones that has the best factors. It's the most money spent on it. There's like this and one other that Nate Silver, who's loved and hated by everyone, who's kind of the polls guy, puts as his second best rated poll. It had Trump up nationally in the contest, either 1 point if it's just head to head, or 2 points when you add in third party candidates. So that's not a good indicator for Kamala Harris going into the debate. It's kind of a must-win, make-or-break scenario for her, as she's seen this slipping in the polls post the convention. A lot of that was kind of the honeymoon period and convention bump for her. And you're seeing that she's not really digging in and gaining ground in these polls. And so you can say what you will about the polls, but there is an indicator of enthusiasm that seems to be slipping away from Kamala Harris the longer this campaign goes. And tomorrow night's a big night, and we know that the media is probably already gotten their marching orders on how to spin this for her after the debate. So I'm very interested in see how this plays out.
That's right. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go ahead with Philip, who's calling in Georgia on line one. Philip, you're on the air.
Yes, you guys and Donald Trump need to hammer what Bernie Sanders said over the weekend on NBC News Meet the Press, where he said, I quote, her policy changes are pragmatic, which means basically a leopard will not change its spots. She's saying what she's saying now to get elected. And then if she wins, you're going to go back to being so progressive. And the segment you had on before, it will be 100 times worse for Christians in this country, 100 times. So that is what you and Trump need to hammer. That Bernie, and she's a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Yep, Philip, thank you for calling. I think that's a really good comment. As you said, we could see a world where things could get much worse, but that's why we're there. That's why we're here to help. So I encourage you, regardless who wins this election coming up, the ACLJ will be there. And we could do that with your support. So become an ACLJ champion today, someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis. You heard me say it a lot. I'm going to keep saying it, so don't worry. But we're going to take your calls, by the way, coming up in just a couple minutes. So the next segment, we're going to be joined by former Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell. part of our team here. And then after that, I want to take as many calls as we can. So if you're a great call like that, we got three lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And if you're watching online, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, whatever it is, engage. Throw some comments in. If you don't know what to comment, let me know where you're watching from. I always like to see that. Get a little geography from around the country and around the world. Secula, we will be taking your calls coming up in the next segment. We got Rick Rinnell joining us. Rick, you're joining us. Rick, obviously we are a day away from the big debate. What feels like the second debate, but is it the first debate? But I wanted to get your thoughts heading into this. And of course, the Harris campaign decided, yeah, maybe today we should post our issues page. Maybe we should actually reveal a little bit of what we're talking about. Of course, you read it, and there's not a lot of meat there.
Yeah, look, this is going to be a very big debate. I hope it's not the only debate. There is talk of an NBC debate in about 2 weeks. I hope the Kamala Harris team will say yes to it. Donald Trump has said yes to it. It's important that we have more discussion, more transparency. We do know she's running from the media, and that strategy is not working. They have been forced to do, you know, a little bit of policy discussion, not policy details, on their website because there's been pressure. The media has been the pressure point. It's the public. The public has been screaming for more information. And she is, I think, the first person to run for president to have a leverage pressure campaign from the public, not from the media. The media are allowing her to get away with it. This could be the first presidential campaign that is stopped, that is that fails because of the public, not because of the media. And I think that's a really important point.
Rick, I wanted to get your take on this because you're hoping for a second debate between Trump and Kamala Harris, but the former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is not so sure this one's going to happen. I want to get your reaction to bite two.
What advice would you give Donald Trump for the debate? You're super close, I know.
Yeah.
You are close in a way.
He takes my advice, yeah. Do you think he's going to show up?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Do you know something I don't know?
I know cowardice when I see it. Yeah.
So Speaker Pelosi, former Speaker Pelosi, doesn't think Donald Trump's going to show up to the debate after he already won one election against Joe Biden because of his debate performance?
Look, Nancy Pelosi gets to get away with this crazy talk because the media doesn't push back on her. Everybody outside of Washington, outside of newsrooms, knows that it's Kamala Harris that hasn't decided to go into the next debate. She's the one who's still complaining about Mike, and she wanted to have notes. She wanted to sit at a desk. She wanted to literally sit there and read her talking points. And that's not what Joe Biden had agreed to with President Trump. And so the media and the left are spinning this whole thing that somehow Kamala is the strong one and Trump is afraid. Everybody knows that that's bunk. Everybody knows that that's ridiculous. But Nancy Pelosi gets to get away with this, say this publicly, and the crowd just roars because they're living in a dream world where the media just tell them total falsehoods and they're not able to hear dissenting views. I mean, look, I talk about this on Twitter a lot. Comcast owns MSNBC and NBC News. And what Comcast is doing to silence the dissenting voices from the conservatives is outrageous. And people need to speak up who are Comcast customers. This shouldn't be allowed to happen in America.
I think a lot of people actually look at that too, and they're looking at what CNN is doing. CNN maybe is pushing back harder than they've pushed before. We've seen some responses from some of the other networks. Maybe they are seeing, and we can honestly look at the policy page and even see that they are leaning a bit more towards trying to find that sort of middle ground voter that maybe that far left, extreme left, they thought was going to be their largest voice in the room, you know, is not quite what they thought it was. Maybe it is just that social media voice, because we've seen, other than from, like Will said, they have, she's out there being very moderate on Israel, and then you have Tim Walz taking a more extreme view. It seems like they are trying to kind of, you know, have their cake and eat it too, if you will, in this scenario. And of course, now you have a former Vice President Dick Cheney come out and say, I'm voting for Harris and support Harris, and he's being welcomed with open arms. I mean, as someone who was very much around during the Bush era, and as someone who was a proud Bush supporter, I know you as well, worked there at the time, we've all kind of were involved in some ways, to see the Democrats embrace who they kind of put out there as like Darth Vader, as like the ultimate evil, it's just so telling.
Yeah, look, this to me is typical of Washington, D.C. swamp. They love money. They love the defense industrial complex. They want wars because they benefit from wars. And let's just remember that it was the entire left, the entire Democratic Party, that wanted to prosecute Dick Cheney for war crimes.
It's insane.
In Iraq. It's insane because now, you know, the only people that were defending Cheney back then were Republicans. Now Dick Cheney has turned and embraced Kamala Harris, the person who has literally undermined democracy and is the most ill-prepared person ever to run for office.
Rick, we earlier talked about in the show that Senator Bernie Sanders was on Meet the Press, speaking of NBC and Comcast. And Kristen Welker asked him about the flip-flops that we've seen from Kamala Harris. You know, she used to be more in line with the things you supported, but now she's changed on these issues. And Senator Sanders, to his credit, said the quiet part out loud. He said that, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win an election. Did he tell us 100% what we would see from a Harris administration? It would be the way she had ruled in California as attorney general, the way that she voted as a senator, and the way she went along with the Biden schemes as vice president? Is it going to be what we know from history of Kamala Harris, or what she puts out publicly now that she's the candidate for president?
Well, she's not changing her values. Let's remember that. And her values are very well known. We've seen them on video. What's happening right now is the Kamala Harris team and Kamala Harris herself have been caught because they always assumed that the California playbook would be the way that you win the White House. They were so naive to think that what worked in Sacramento was somehow going to work in Washington, D.C. And let me just tell you, as a Californian, they've ruined this state with their woke ideologies. She's on video saying you got to be more woke. You should always be woke. And we have seen firsthand in California that woke policies are atrocious. What they're trying to do is win an election. So she's saying things like, I'm not against fracking because she's got to win Pennsylvania. This is a clear indication that they're panicking and that their strategy to run as a woke, radical San Francisco progressive is not working. Everyone knew it was going to work. Kamala is the last one to know that it wasn't going to work.
And Rick, you mentioned your home state of California. I'm sure you saw the LA Times column that came out that said, they say Democrats are to blame for all California's problems, but the GOP is MIA. I just want to get your quick take on that one.
Well, that's Steve Lopez. He's crazier than a loon. He's said the most outrageous things. And I think the bigger story is, why does the LA Times continue to have this far left communist writing pieces? He's literally been wrong on every single subject. And he's been a cheerleader for all of the woke policies in California.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us. I want to encourage everyone who's listening to, we can't have great voices like Rick Grinnell on this show without your support. And as always, Rick, it's always great to hear from you. And I really look forward to, obviously, we got a big day tomorrow with the debate. I look forward to hearing your response to everything that goes down. We got a busy week ahead. Absolutely. So thank you again to Rick for joining us. I'm encouraging you right now to give us a call. Of course, I've said to support the work of the ACLJ, but there's about, just on YouTube, there's like 5,000 of you live right now watching on YouTube. Thousands are watching, millions listen throughout the day and throughout all of our broadcasts. But right now, there's about 5,000 of you watching right now on just YouTube alone, another couple thousand on Rumble. I'm encouraging you, if you're brand new, which a lot of you are, we look at the numbers. About half of those who join us live each day are brand new. You've never seen my face before. You've never seen Will Haynes' face before. You've never seen our broadcast? So I encourage you. We do this show each and every day, 12 to 1 Eastern. You can work your way back from there. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell and the little thumbs up. Know how much that means to us. Financial support is great. I want you to become an ACLJ champion, all that. But I'm encouraging you right now, if you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. You know what's different between our show and a lot of other broadcasts and podcasts you may listen to? I want to hear from you. That's right. Because we're live to thousands of you each and every day, I do get to hear from you. So give us a call whether you're listening on the radio, watching on Facebook, watching on YouTube, Rumble, on X. Right now, you see that number at the bottom of the screen if you're watching, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We actually have quite a few lines open. A lot of viewers, a lot of open lines. So you know what that means? If you call in, there'll be less open lines, and we're able to hear from you because you are the most important voice in this room. Because we are supported specifically from you, not by big sponsors, not by anything else, just by individual donors. We want to hear from you each and every day. 1-800-684-3110. We're back in just a minute with your calls. Welcome back to Seculo as we take a minute to screen through some of your calls. Give that information to our phone screeners. We got two lines still open, 1-800-684-3110. But let's go to, right off the bat, let's go to Deborah, who's listening on the radio, calling from work, and on line four, you are on the air.
I find Vice President Harris's changes in her policy, as stated, appalling and terrifying, because there may be some voters who are pulled off track or pulled into her web, if I may say it that way.
Yeah, I mean, Deborah, I think the idea is to peel off voters who maybe are not paying as close attention.
Right. That's why Bernie Sanders said she's trying to be pragmatic and do what she thinks she has to do to win an election. The entire point, Deborah, is to peel off voters that say, oh, this sounds good. This doesn't sound super liberal. This sounds pretty moderate. This sounds like, oh, she's going to help me and my family. The problem is that she has not been governing this way as vice president. She wasn't voting that way as U.S. senator, and she wasn't acting that way as attorney general of California. Remember, we at the ACLJ had to combat Kamala Harris. We had a lawsuit that originally was captioned versus Harris. And then when the following the subsequent attorney general came in, the name changed to Becerra. Obviously now he's at HHS. But the problem was she was going after pregnancy resource centers, wanting to force them to advertise where to get abortions.
Yeah, and to clarify everything what that means, it's right. Like you'd go in to a pro-life pregnancy center and there'd be a sign that they wanted up that said, hey, if you're here and you're actually looking for an abortion, here's an address, here are their hours, a website, whatever it is, scan this QR code.
It dictated the size of the sign, the font used. It was trying to squelch freedom of speech and actually force speech, compel speech for these centers that are pro-life that wanted to help women that needed resources for a pregnancy. And instead, they had them advertise for abortion. We know her track record. We've been following the career of Kamala Harris longer than many people because we've had to fight against her in places like California. We've had to defend our clients that were concerned about being forced to advertise for abortion in California. So, yeah, I don't think that we have any doubt about how she would be as president of the United States and what policies she would enact. But, yeah, right now, they've already done everything unprecedented. They pulled out their candidate. They've done every single thing that imaginable to try and make this an unusual election and try to get her across the finish line. Not doing a press conference, waiting so long to do an interview, not telling you what their platform really is. And what we're going to see is they're going to keep trying to do more and more things to make it seem like she appeals to the middle of the country when in reality, I don't think that most of middle America agrees with the policies of Kamala Harris.
Sure, and I think that that came off just over the weekend with Bernie Sanders, who's being interviewed saying, does it feel like she is softening on a lot of her far left points of view? Of course, what did Bernie Sanders say? Take a listen.
Now, she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now, she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
There you go. Trying to do what's right to win the election. Just doing the bare minimum. Saying, telling people what they want to hear. The most 101 political swampy garbage that you'll ever hear, which is just go out there and lie to the people. If you go out there and lie to people, you're going to win over votes. If you win over votes, who cares what actually you believe in? Because then you'll be in office. You can do whatever you want and people are going to blindly support you. That seems to become the track record and the trajectory of Washington right now.
That's right. And honestly, this is why the debate is such a big moment for the Harris campaign tomorrow, because they got this surge of enthusiasm when Joe Biden dropped out, and it seemed inevitable that Joe Biden would lose, replaced him with Kamala Harris. The media gives her the most glowing reviews of a human that you've ever seen. So everyone's saying she's so popular. She was the least popular vice president in the history of this country. So popular. Everybody loves her. She's going to win in a landslide. Then she gets to have her well-produced, entertaining DNC that makes it look inevitable. Oh, she's going to win. This is incredible. They had Little John show up during the roll call. It was so great. Can you believe it? Oprah spoke. Then that goes away. And you see the convention bump go down. And right now you have a New York Times Siena poll that is the first full poll post-Labor Day. It's a large sample size. It's almost 1,700 likely voters. And it has Kamala Harris down one if it's head-to-head. You add the other candidates in. She's down two nationally. That's the national poll. That's the one that the Democrats are almost always ahead in. You're seeing that enthusiasm dry up. The media narrative is going away. That's why they know that this is all or nothing tomorrow night to be able to capture that media narrative again that, oh, she's surging. She became the prosecutor on stage. Mark my words, you will hear that in the post-debate analysis on CNN and MSNBC. Yeah, you saw Prosecutor Harris tonight.
I mean, a much better, much different tone than right. The last time. And Will, it's Lil Jon.
Oh, I said little.
So
little
almost
John.
Too. You almost said it too.
Little
clearly.
John.
Let's go to Cambria.
From Robin Hood.
Yes, exactly. Let's go to Cambria, who's calling in Utah. That's how you have kids. You're just watching Robin Hood a lot.
Right, that's right.
Is an ACLJ champion. So thank you so much for your monthly support. I appreciate it. You'll be our last call for the day. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, team. I just don't think Kamala will survive the debate. And as a result, there won't be any other debate that she'll agree to. A second question I had, whatever happened to the Fox? I thought they agreed that that would go first.
Oh, yeah, the Fox debate just did not happen. It didn't. They ended up not coming to terms, right?
And well, Kamala did not agree
she
to it.
Do it.
Yeah, she would not do the debate.
So, of course, you can blame the Harris campaign for that. But, yes, do I think that it will go well? I could see it going either way in this. It'll go. But, look, I think it'll be more of a debate than the last one. But the bar is very low. Very low. But maybe this time you'll see that. Now, look, what we'll know, historically, she brought up, will there be another debate? If it goes that bad, there may be another debate because they're going to have something to bounce back. We saw that last time or many times ago with Obama versus Romney. The first Romney debate, Romney smoked him. And then what they do the next time around, Obama really took care of it for the rest of the entire campaign. So you may see that response, but I think you're right. I think likely this is going to be our one and only. We are pretty close to an election at this point. I don't really see another opportunity unless it's some very specific thing where both of them really need it. But we'll see what happens. Hey, we only got a minute left. I encourage you right now to become an ACLJ champion, a monthly supporter. Do that right now. Scan the QR code. You can do it right now. Let's see if that QR code pops up. Will it pop up? There it is. Scan it. Go to ACLJ.org or ACLJ.org/champions right now. That's people who really want to defend our incredible work here at the ACLJ, defend their own life, liberty, and freedom. Whether you are an individual who is like one of the people in our 55 plus community who just wants to use the word Bible in their Bible study, or whether you are a leader of one of the few free nations in the world, maybe you need the help of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org. Do that right now. You never know when you're going to need us, and we're going to be there for you regardless of how an election turns out. Again, support the work. Go to ACLJ.org, and I appreciate everyone who's watching right now. And hey, all the clowns just started coming in. That's always fun to see, and I appreciate that. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Secular.